Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. The place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and happy holidays to all of you out there in the Twin Cities and abroad. Thank you very much for tuning in to the best in paranormal talk radio.
Who are you calling abroad?
Hey, be nice now. You're listening to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, sitting across the board from me, the jolly and effervescent Mr. Tim Dennis.
Well, you make me sound like Alka-Seltzer.
Well, you know.
I'm jolly and effervescent.
How are you doing, sir?
My voice, as you could tell, is a little...
Breathy?
A little out of it, yeah.
Gotta get that bedroom voice rolling, man.
Well, if a bedroom voice means,
Gritty?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Yeah. We came back from the Queen Mary, as you know, that dinghy out in the middle of Long Beach got me ill, and so my throat suffered. I actually feel really good, but I sound like I should be hospitalized.
Well, yeah, you know, I picked up a little bit of a chest cold, but I think it's from the bacteria factories I call children.
Oh, yes, that'll do it.
You probably get them, too. You're always seeing your nephews and little brother.
Yeah, but I make them wear little masks like Michael Jackson. And they
wear Michael Jackson masks?
Yeah, and I put them in little wigs, and yeah, I make them dance to Thriller.
You frighten me.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got some cool news. First of all, I want to mention to you the Phenomenology event that's coming up that's taking place in Gettysburg. The tickets are still on sale for that right now. And if you want to get in on the early bird special price, right now it's only $75 if you sign up before January 1st. After January 1st, they go up to $150. Ooh. Still a great deal, and you get a lot of content for the entire event. There's Chris Fleming from the television show Dead Famous, Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence, demonologists John Zaffis and Adam Bly, Tiffany Johnson, the psychic, and Chip Coffee from Psychic Kids and Paranormal State will be there. EVP specialists Mark and Debbie Constantino. I'm going to be on hand. Also, Dr. Barry Taff, Stacey Jones, the ghost cop, Bill Murphy, Scotty Roberts, Chris Mancuso, and Brian J. Cano are going to be out there from Scared, and Vince Wilson, just to name some of the people that are going to be involved. A lot of cool stuff going on. It takes place March 26th, 27th, and 28th. There are still some of the locations open for the ghost hunt. It's going to be a great opportunity. You can't beat the price. All day long you get talks. All night you get ghost hunting. So check out the information. Go to our website at darknessradio.com or darknessevents.com. Click on that information. Remember, again, it goes up to $150. So you can save over half off right now by going and signing up. We also want to let you know that there are very few tickets left for the event that we're doing out with the Ghost Adventures guys. They are going to be doing an event at Bob Mackey's, and that's going to be taking place, Bobby Mackey's Music Club. It's a live ghost hunting conference. It's going to be taking place January 20th, 21st, and 22nd. It's a three-day event. It's claimed to be one of the most haunted locations in the United States. Again, you can get all that information on our website at darknessevents.com. There are less than, I think he said, like 30 tickets left, 25 to 30 tickets left for this event, and they are going fast. You can come hang out with the entire group of ghost hunters. You get Zach, Nick, and Aaron from Ghost Adventures crew. I'm going to be out there. You've got Mark and Debbie Constantino. You also have Archbishop James Long. Just a great little lineup. So come on out, check that out. Again, tickets are on sale and moving very fast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and making this a great year for us, Tim. We're coming into the end of this year and the beginning of year three for Darkness Radio. Can you believe it's gone by fast?
No, really fast. Yep.
Hey, I want to make this mention, too. I get a lot of people that contact me, and they want to know why the archives aren't on our website anymore at Darkness Radio. Our Darkness Radio website has our archives of all of our old shows that go all the way up till August 24th when we were picked up by...
God love them.
Yeah, and if you want to hear all of our new shows from August 24th on, you'll see on the front page there, you can click right on Darkness Radio Podcast. It'll take you in. You can download or listen right off the line, stream it, any of our past shows from August 24th to today. And now we are doing two nights a week, so you can join us every Saturday and Sunday night from 9 p.m. to midnight. Join our live chat, too. We got a lot of great people over in the live chat room. If you're online, go to darknessradio.com, click on live chat, come on in during the show, talk with other like-minded individuals involved in the paranormal, and spend your evening with us here. We'd appreciate that. I do want to mention we got a great show tonight. Brian Riggi is going to be here with us talking about poltergeists, apparitions, ghosts. He's got a great book out called Ghosts, Apparitions, and Poltergeists.
Hey, there you go.
See how that all works out?
What a coincidence.
Yeah, we also have... a really amazing writer that's going to be joining us. We're very happy to have her. This is her first time on Darkness Radio. We're going to have Leslie Rule joining us this evening. And she has got a new book called Ghost in the Mirror. And, dude, if it's not frightening enough, first of all, the ghost in the mirror concept freaks me out.
Uh-huh.
Second of all, she's got a doll on the cover of the book looking into the mirror. So dolls, mirrors,
there's, there's a couple of things that I...
If it could have been a clown doll, man, I'd have been over.
See, now, those two things right there, I'll never get why people are scared of them.
What?
Clowns and dolls.
I don't either. But and, well, you know what? You know what it is about dolls? Just all these creepy shows where the doll's eyes like pop open and the heads move and freaky stuff. Freaky.
I'd probably sit down and talk to it.
I'd be that's not unlike the giant inflatable doll you have at home.
Well, yeah. Oh, every once in a while, its eyes pop open and roll and look at me in the dark. And I'm like, what, again?
Again?
Can't you see I'm tired?
Yeah. We got Stephen Ulish is going to be on our show tomorrow. Check this out. He became a professor at the age of 28, Tim. Spent the major part of his life researching occult material like the Kabbalah and UFOs. His very insightful writings are published on many paranormal and UFO sites. He's lectured and written about a wide variety of topics, everything from anti-Semitism to UFOs, from Kabbalah to the occult. And tomorrow night we're going to be talking about a couple of his articles. He wrote one called The Reality of Ghosts, A Possible Biblical Explanation.
Hmm.
And then I just love the title of this one, Extraterrestrials Tremble at the Name of Jesus.
Don't we all, though?
Yes, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just did right there.
See?
I was trembling. Could you hear me?
I could.
So we've got that going on tomorrow night. We're going to have our guests again tonight, Brian Riggi and Leslie Rule. Brian will be with us in about 45 minutes at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. Leslie Rule will be joining us at the 11 o'clock hour here. So stay tuned. And if you have any guest ideas, people you'd like to hear on the show, we're working on a Bermuda Triangle guest that should be with us.
Okay.
Also, for those of you watching, you know, they're doing updates on this Kaylee Anthony case.
Yeah, yep.
This is pretty interesting stuff now. He's probably hating me. I've specifically avoided talking to Robbie Thomas.
Shame on you.
I will not return his phone calls or emails yet.
Okay.
The reason why, and so Robbie, if you're listening, you're getting the understanding here. I've not wanted to taint anything that's going on. The case, as Robbie reported it on our show over a month ago, we asked him to look into this case as a psychic profiler. He gave us a lot of details, including the fact that, didn't he say that her body was currently underwater?
Yes.
And sure enough, that the where the body was found was originally underwater.
Right.
So there's a lot of these facts, but I want to get a lot more of the facts to come in and then talk to Robbie about this. Talk to him about the cases that we covered with him, because we have had some feedback. Plus, we've got, we're going to do a talk on the smiley face killers. Have you heard about this, Tim?
Smiley face killers?
Yeah, the smiley face killers. Christy Peel from local Channel 5 News here did an Emmy Award-winning special on them. There's two retired New York detectives that are continuing the search on this.
Yeah, I did see a story about
They're finding bodies of missing, like, college-age boys that all the claims are always, oh, they got drunk and fell in and blah, blah, blah. But wherever they find the body, there's always some kind of smiley face painted on or near and around the area of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So they're referring to it as the smiley face killers.
Hmm. Which sounds pretty interesting. I do remember seeing the story on the news like you reported. And they seem to think that there are some cases that are going to be reopened because they are attached to these smiley face killers.
And they're thinking, this is the freaky part, man. They're thinking it's a pod of little like serial killer groups around the United States that are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to bring Robbie in on this. We're going to have him kind of weigh in, and I've actually talked to the lead investigator that's still researching all this, and with Chrissy Peel. She's going to come into the studio with us. We're going to talk to Mr. Gannon, the lead investigator on this case, and we're going to bring Robbie in and see if he can shed some light on it for them and give them some maybe insight on an ongoing case that's, if it's true, what they're finding out, this is frightening as hell.
Mm-hmm.
That there are people being murdered, dumped in the lakes, bodies, water all over. Just, it's crazy. With that said, I want to get into it. Speaking of crazy, it's time to go to movie reviews. And since we're talking about creepy stuff, let's go into the next horror movie review. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for movie reviews with Nicole Remini.
Observer of the obscure, viewer of the violent, and maker of the best peanut butter and jelly sandwiches we ever tasted. It's movie reviews live from the dungeon with Nicole Remini.
Well, good evening, Nicole. Thanks for joining us back here on the show this week.
How are you guys?
We're doing well. Happy holidays. I hope that your family and everybody are doing well at this time of year.
Oh, yeah, busy. The weather's killing me, but we're getting out. We're doing things. Monday we leave town. Yay, vacation for the family.
Where are you guys off to?
We're going to go to Big Bear for a week.
Big Bear?
Big Bear, cool. California. Go ski Mammoth Mountain and Big Bear Mountain.
Well, of course,
really cool.
Big Bear Mountain and Mammoth Mountain, Tim. I feel
yeah.
Listen, I don't mess around.
No, she's going to
go big. Enough for me.
Tim and I like to go sledding in my backyard, and that's about the extent of it.
I like Little Tiny Wimpy Mountain and Little Baby Bear Mountain. Those are my favorites.
Welcome to Minnesota, because that's what we got here, babe.
Hey, speaking of bad weather, please, if you're out there driving right now, be careful.
We're under
the roads are horrible. We are under a winter
weather advisory right now for the state of Minnesota.
Right, and it's brutal out there. I left. It took me about an hour to get into the station tonight, which is usually about a 20-minute drive for me. But roads were slippery, horrible conditions. So if you are driving, please, 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 please drive safely. And if you're at home, just stay home, be safe, listen
just
to Darkness
home.
Radio.
Yep. Don't even go out tonight. It was ridiculous, me going one exit on the freeway tonight.
So for the weekend, when people are trapped in, if they can get a movie or catch a movie online, what do you recommend?
Well, one of the movies that I rented that we watched online was that Fido, and that was definitely worth sitting in bed watching it on my laptop. So I would say if you're going to watch something online, do that. But I will say, oh, my gosh, I watched two movies today.
Okay.
And both of them, I have one word. Hope
really?
You got that.
Can we spell that?
Sunk. And the girl at the movie at the video store, recommended it. She's like, oh, my gosh, you have to see these new ghost house undergrounds. Have you heard of these?
I have not.
Terrible. So, from the makers of 30 Days, 30 Days of Night and The Grudge, terrible. I watched a movie called The Substitute, and about halfway through, I thought, is there any scare factor in this movie? Turned it off, went to the next one. So I went to a movie called Evil, and it's brand new, just came out. It is, how I'm a huge fan of the Spanish movies. This one, not so much.
Really?
The movie basically is about this journalist. He's really cynical, and he's assigned to investigate, all these mysterious events in this small town. Okay, one girl dies. That was all the mysterious events. I was weird. Car, of course, gets stranded. Farmhouse, typical, knock on the door. Old, creepy lady answers the phone. Answers the door, who ends up being sexy woman who wants to take a bath with him in the middle of the night, type of thing. And you're like, okay, where is this going? So somehow, some way, he ends up in a truck running from this house. He ends up finding this dead priest. He wears the priest clothes. He goes to this weird little town, ends up seriously becoming like a priest. It was the weirdest, stupidest thing. He's in the church one minute, and he's, reading from the Bible, and he has absolutely no faith in God, so he's just, going through the motion, very rote. And then he starts, running around this dead woman in the casket, and I'm like, what the hell is he running from? He looks like an idiot. And it ends up, the CGI is so bad, you can't even see that there's bats in the room chasing him. it's the stupidest movie.
And now, what's the name of this travesty?
It's called Evil.
Evil.
And so basically, until he, and every single night he's going in and he's reading from the Bible, and every night this woman's, and the voiceovers, oh my goodness gracious, it's terrible. She's, I'm going to take your blood, drink your blood, steal your soul. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me with this. Every single night, on and on and on. Finally, his faith in God comes back, and lo and behold, she bursts into a bunch of dead leaves, and he ends up with gray hair, and he leaves the crazy town. The movie was horrible.
All right. Well,
I'm going Brooklyn on you. It was horrible.
It was horrible. So out of four lights you would leave on, you would turn them all off and hope that you'd have no memory of this in the morning?
I'll be taking Advil PM tonight, so I really get a good night's sleep. But if I didn't need the Advil PM, I'd have no problem sleeping tonight.
All right. Well, Nicole, thanks a lot for that. We'll get those get those over to us, and we'll post them on the website.
You got
Again,
it.
It's The Substitute and Evil. Avoid
and
them.
Evil. All right. Stunk. Don't bother. And please, I need the listeners to start sending me some movies that are actually worth watching. So you can go to darknessradio.com. You can go to KTLKFM.com, and you can go to Darkness Radio link and send me some movie ideas.
Sounds good. Thank you very much, Nicole. You have a great week. Happy holidays, and all our best to you and your family.
Bye, baby. Happy holidays.
Bye-bye, and thank you all for tuning in. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. We'll be back with more right after this. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Tim Dennis across the board. Hey, Tim.
Hey, what?
A zombie attack brings chaos to Harvardville Airport. Leon Kennedy and Claire Redfield, who fought the sinister Umbrella Corporation during the Raccoon City tragedy 7 years ago.
Yeah.
They're back.
What?
In a high-octane Resident Evil style. They're ready to battle a rogue warrior who's seeking revenge after his family was killed in Raccoon City. The deadly G virus is unleashed, and a new mutated monster goes on the rampage. Will Claire and Leon be able to terminate the virus before history repeats itself, Tim?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but we're going to find out. That's right. Yeah. Resident Evil Degeneration is an original CG motion picture. It's out on DVD next week. Tune into Darkness Radio because we're going to be giving them away on the show. I'm going to get a copy of this, watch it so that I can repeat it. We're going to talk about it next week on the show as well. So if it sucks, then you don't have to call in.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding. It's not going to suck. It's Resident Evil. This is kind of a precursor for the brand new Resident Evil 5 video game that's coming out. So this is exciting stuff. So check it out again next week if you're into this. Resident Evil Degeneration. It's an original CG motion picture. It comes out next week. We're going to be giving away copies on the show. But go out, rent it, buy it, get it for your collection. Speaking of really cool stuff, Tim.
And getting them for your collection?
And getting them for my collection.
Yep.
It's time to go to the Brit.
Yo, Adrian.
Now with all the weird news from around the world, it's time for the Supernatural Stories of the Strange, International Edition. Live from London, international news correspondent Adrian Lee.
Good evening, Mr. Lee, and thank you very much for joining us here this evening.
Hi, Dave. Hello, America. How are you?
Doing well. So what do you think of the lovely weather here in Minnesota, Adrian?
I can't believe you brought me out to this. If this happened in Britain, it'd be a national emergency. They'd be airlifting food into people. I mean, the worst I've ever driven in is light drizzle. I mean, no peeing outside or anything, is there?
No, you don't want to pee outside tonight. It's brutal.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Well, not that you should pee outside at any time. That is kind of alarming to me that they do have just like urinal troughs in the middle of the street in London.
Yeah, slightly down to the fact that people just randomly wee where they want to be honest. It's apparently ruining some of the building foundations because the uric acid is actually starting to crumble the foundations of some of the buildings that have been up since sort of the 17th century. So given the choice, you know, I'm guessing that's the lesser of two evils there.
Crazy stuff. Well, let's start off. We got some crazy news stories going on this week, I've been told. So where are we going to start off tonight, sir?
We have. Let's start, as always, with Tales of the Bizarre and Strange. And I found this story very funny for some reason, which probably says a lot about both my psyche and my British sense of humor. An actor narrowly escaped death this week after slashing his own throat on stage with a real knife instead of a blunt stage prop blade. Daniel Hovell slumped to the floor with blood pouring from his neck during a performance at Vienna's Berg Theatre in Austria this week. He was rushed to hospital with a deep slice to his throat, which unfortunately missed his main artery, and Austrian police are investigating whether the incident was a mistake or a deliberate attack on the actor. If the actor had put a little more pressure on the knife or even struck an artery, he would probably have bled to death on stage, a doctor told the newspaper Österreich. The real-life drama happened last weekend during a performance of Friedrich Schiller's play Mary Stuart about Mary, Queen of Scots. And Mr. Hovell's character was supposed to commit suicide, and the actor used what he thought was a blunt weapon or a blunt prop. The audience is said to have applauded what they thought was a stunning special effect and only realised something was wrong when the actor staggered off the stage and received treatment. And I can't help having this visual image in my mind, picturing the audience enthusiastically clapping with ferocity at the special effects and the sheer acting bravado of this poor man stumbling around the stage, clutching his still gurgling throat, unfortunately. Austrian police launched an investigation and have not ruled out the possibility of foul play, but you'd be very pleased to hear that Mr. Hovels has recovered after a hospital treatment and, in true theatrical tradition, appeared on stage the following night, although with a bandage round his neck. And I bet he's less enthusiastic in the suicide scene as well now.
I would guess so.
I mean, next month they're looking to put on Tessa de D'Urbervilles by Thomas Hardy, so what could possibly go wrong there?
You know, and I've heard about people dying on stage, but I don't think they should take it literally, Adrian.
I've heard about people dying on radio as well.
Oh, what are you saying? That's hurtful. What's our next story, sir?
Okay, from one man losing a lot of blood to another one who was less fortunate, a man died because he picked his nose so much he bled to death, an inquest heard this week in Britain. Manchester coroner Nigel Meadows said about the death of a 63-year-old, Ian Bothwell, there is no explanation for this death other than that he died from a nosebleed consistent with picking his nose. I do not think for a moment he knew what he was doing when he was going to actually pick his nose, and this has actually caused his death. They recorded a verdict of misadventure. I mean, misadventure actually sounds like he went on a journey and then had an accident. A pathologist concluded that Mr. Bothwell, who suffered from dementia brought on by alcoholism, had picked his nose so much that it had caused him to bleed to death. Mr. Edwards told the inquest, "I thought he must have fallen out of bed and hit his head, but it was obvious he was almost certainly dead when I found him. And the only place he found any contributory evidence was inside Mr. Bothwell's nasal cavity, which was full of blood." Dr. Bembo told the inquest the nasal cavity was filled with blood, and my conclusion is most likely that the cause of death is epistaxis, which is the technical term for a nosebleed. So, I mean, he must have been really going for it, mustn't he? I mean, he's got to be raking his brains out for that to take place.
Raking his brains out?
Yeah.
You paint quite the picture, Mr. Lee. That is, well, you know, I need that article so I can take it home and show it to my kids. So now I can actually show them, no, you really can. When you pick your nose, it could kill you, so please stop picking your nose and wiping him on Daddy's couch.
It's not true. They found his wristwatch up there, by the way.
That is wrong. So wrong.
We proceed rather neatly from picking
please.
To picking. A young woman has partially lost her hearing after her boyfriend ruptured her eardrum during an excessively passionate kiss. The 20-something woman was taken to hospital in the Chinese city of Zhuhai in southern Guangdong province, completely deaf in her left ear.
In the southern what? Where is that located? The southern what?
It's a Chinese city called Zhuhai. It's in the southern Guangdong province of China.
Guangdong, weren't they an 80s rock band?
That's I love Wayne that group.
Chong. Oh, that's Wayne Chung. Oh, I'm sorry. So close.
Granted, it's very similar, so I can let you off of that. Have you ever ruptured anything, by the way, whilst you've been kissing a woman, Dave? I mean, just for the purposes of medical research and knowledge.
I have not.
You haven't?
As far as I'm aware.
Well, the worst I've ever got has been stubble burn. Mind you, her legs were very hairy.
Oh, my God, stop it.
Why, if I had a dollar for every time a woman shoved her sweet potato pie in my face.
Oh, my God, please. Where are we off to, sir? Finish up this horrifying story.
Well, the kiss reduced the pressure in her mouth, apparently, and it pulled her eardrum out and caused the breakdown of her ear.
Oh, my God.
And the doctor said the woman's hearing would return to normality within 2 or 3 months. But the interesting thing for me is it says, well, kissing is very normally safe. Doctors advise people to proceed with caution. And then it just leaves it there. I mean, what does proceed with caution mean?
I don't know, but I need that news story to show my 13-year-old daughter.
I mean, you know. But
See, honey, you could rupture an eardrum. Better not to kiss boys. They're evil.
Yeah, unless you do stretching exercises first or suck a boiled sweet or use Bengay or something.
Yes, exactly.
But they just leave it there. They say proceed with caution. There's no explanation of what proceed with caution means. I mean, a depressurization chamber?
Yes.
It's possible.
That is possible. Hey, Adrian, we have to take a quick break. Believe it or not, folks, you're listening to the strange news of around the world with our international news correspondent, Adrian Lee, right here on the best on Paranormal Talk Radio, Darkness Radio. Good evening, everybody. It's time to Wang Chung right here on Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Across the board from me, Tim Dennis. And somewhere hidden in the state of Minnesota is international news correspondent on the run, Adrian Lee. Adrian, where are we off to next in the world, sir?
Hello. I want to back to Vienna, if that's possible, just very briefly.
Please.
Austrian police, who were called out to a suspected murder scene, were stunned when they came across a dead pig dressed in jeans and a T-shirt this week. I was just wondering, actually, if Tim's spoken to his prom date recently.
Well, as a matter of fact, we have been getting reacquainted for the holidays.
Oh, that's so sad. So it is. Pig wearing jeans?
Miss Grizzly, go on, do continue.
No, I said it's a pig wearing jeans. That's what
it's
you said.
Pig wearing jeans and a t-shirt. Yes,
she doesn't look bad in a skirt either, but, you know. Actually, I like to dress her up, put her on a platter and an apple in her mouth, and then, you know, we do what we do. But
oh, my God.
You Americans have got some very strange customs. No,
don't say we Americans. That's just him.
I can't group you all together in the same Venn diagram then.
No, not at all.
Okay. This particular pig was actually spotted by children who telephoned the police thinking they'd came across a dead body. Officers in Vienna also mistook the pig for a mutilated corpse, so they're obviously doing a good job. Investigations revealed that the pig was part of a scientific experiment, and a forensic pathologist was studying how quickly a clothed corpse would rot. Professor Christian Reiter said nobody was even supposed to be in this area, which belongs to the Vienna Institute for Forensic Medicine, and the children simply climbed over the fence. And I think these are quite common, aren't they, that they put pigs and bodies in bogs and marshes, and they look at seeing how quickly they rot and how quickly they decompose for medical reasons.
Right. So there, but what was the purpose of dressing it?
I think it was to see how quickly the animal would rot when it was actually clothed. So when they come across bodies that have got clothes still on them, they've got a good idea of how long the body's been there, and they can do some forensic research based on that.
All right.
So that's
makes
the
sense.
Reason it was clothed. I don't suppose it was to keep it warm by any chance.
I wonder if we can get that pig on the show and do a show on animal near-death experiences, Tim.
I'll give her a call.
Excellent.
Yeah, the pig is dead, unfortunately, which is rather disappointing.
Well, that's pretty close to near death.
She doesn't move much, Adrian, but that's not a reason to say she's dead.
What was that, Adrian?
You can't get any closer.
Yeah, that's true. That's about it, huh?
That's the sum of it.
Yes.
Okay, staying in the realms of all things theatrical and actually dipping our toe into the Christmas spirit now, the ghost of Charles Dickens and his faithful servant have risen from the dead this Christmas to welcome you to the spirits of Christmas past at the London Bridge Experience in England. This man who was fascinated by the paranormal, it is said that Charles Dickens still haunts his local area of London Bridge. Dubbed the scariest attraction in England by Living TV's Most Haunted, it is set in the historic surroundings of the tombs under London Bridge. And you can actually walk through the London tombs, which are the resting place of hundreds of plague victims, and where the pits deep beneath the river are filled with unexplained noises and blasts of icy air, and mysterious creatures leap out of the oppressive darkness, and it's quite the experience, apparently. And this is open this week, so if you're in London over the festive period and you feel the need to have your fix of the paranormal, that looks like the ideal location.
And they think that that's Charles Dickens?
Yes, that was the area in which he lived in when he was in London and frequented London. They've got various pubs that he visited, and that's an area that he would have been around. So they've actually labelled the attraction the Charles Dickens Experience there.
Very cool.
I have been to London Bridge on numerous occasions. You can see all the workings underneath, and there's like catacombs as well.
So is it still falling down, falling down, falling down?
Did you not buy it, London? You actually bought that bridge off of us, didn't you, I believe?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, thinking it was Tower Bridge.
No, good God.
I can't believe we got away with that. Fantastic result.
Yeah, and here we're all excited about the Statue of Liberty from France. From what I was told, they were just going to throw it out anyway.
Have you got any landmarks in this country that are actually owned by you, or have they all been presented? Or
not anymore. I think China owns all of it.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there.
Where are we off to next, sir?
Well, if we can go from the dark and cold of a Dickensian London to the exotic and colourful of the Far East, homeowners found a burglar dehydrated and exhausted, claiming a ghost had imprisoned him and would not allow him to eat or drink. The burglar who broke into a Malaysian home stayed there for 3 days. Homeowners who returned from a vacation on Thursday found him petrified and dehydrated and called an ambulance. The burglar claims he was trapped by a supernatural force resembling a ghost, which would not allow him to eat or drink. After the police arrived, the 36-year-old thief said the apparition threw him to the floor every time he tried to escape. The police were left with nothing else but to investigate the case, but for the time being, they do not wish to comment or give details concerning the inquest. The petrified burglar is currently recovering in hospital. I mean, what a great idea, though, a paranormal spirit-based security firm. We can introduce ghosts into people's homes for 24-hour haunted surveillance. What do you think?
That's I have a T-shirt. If you go to darknessradio.com and look, we have T-shirts we sell in our merchandise section, and one says, in big, bold letters, it says, warning, this body protected by malevolent spirits. I'm seeing that little sticker in everybody's window now. What do you think? Warning, this home protected by malevolent spirits and demonic forces.
I'm sure people would think twice. I mean, I wish the ghosts in my house were a bit more useful. I mean, you never get one with OCD, do you? I mean, how much effort would it be just to run a vacuum cleaner around or do a bit of light dusting?
Well, actually,
I mean, treat the place like a hotel.
One of the ghosts at the Stanley Hotel is known for putting your luggage away for you while you're gone.
Really?
Yeah, that was Stephen King's experience from what I've been told, is he checked into the hotel, set his bags in his room, and they went downstairs to have something to eat. They came back up, and all of their luggage had been put away. And when he approached the hotel staff about it, they said, no, Mr. King, we have basically a skeletal crew. There was nobody here doing that. But the woman that had died in that room was an old housekeeper.
They've got a skeleton crew, have they?
Yes. Well, that's the best thing to have at a haunted hotel, don't you think?
I wish that ghost had come over here and sort my laundry out. That's all I can say. Okay, from vigilante spirits with a sense of fair play to a possessed children's ride now. A wooden lion in a Spanish children's playground has caused havoc among local people who say it is haunted by the ghost of conquistador Hernan Cortes. People in the town of Tomares near Seville have been gathering to watch the spring-loaded ride for several weeks. Rumors about the supposed haunting were triggered by the lion's rocking backwards and forth long after the rider had dismounted. Another theory for the mysterious rocking is that the lion is haunted by the souls of those killed by the fascist forces during the Spanish Civil War. I mean, that's a huge leap for me, isn't it? How does one make the leap? How do you go through the thought process and the synaptic links that take place when one person says, look at that children's ride, it stayed rocking long after the child's got off. Oh, that must be the souls of those killed by the fascist forces during the Spanish Civil War. I mean, what kind of thought process goes on there?
Well, maybe if you did some more research, Adrian, you'd actually find that the fascist forces actually used to love to ride children's rides, and it wouldn't be such a stretch, okay?
I can only bow to your superior knowledge. And again, I've let you down with a lack of research. You know, I've only got myself to blame, haven't I?
That is true, sir.
Knowledge is power, said George Orwell.
So it seems. Where are we off to next?
Well, we're going from Spain. We're swinging from the playground and sliding into the cemetery now. A German man has been ordered to remove an internet address from his mother's gravestone. Bernd Bruns from Gladbeck caused a stir when he set up an internet site dedicated to his mother's memory, and he actually put the web address on her gravestone next to her name. Local authorities have ordered him to remove it, but the 53-year-old is refusing to budge, convinced his mum would have approved. One visitor at the cemetery, Inga Vilms, said the address simply doesn't belong on the gravestone. It's okay to talk to the dead when you're in the grave, but actually accessing them on the internet is a joke. I mean, I think we could have introduced advertising and sponsorship here. I mean, this is a whole area that no one's thought of, I suspect. This death is brought to you by darknessradio.com. What do you think?
I think so. Or right on the back of the gravestone, you could put a big sticker that says, to find out what I'm up to, check out www.darknessradio.com.
Yeah, digital dowsing.
There you go. Digital dowsing. Exactly. Ghostshop.com.
What about big corporate sponsorship? Like, you know, you could have underneath right at the very bottom, I'm loving it.
Very cool. Pepsi, the dead generation.
I like that.
No,
one.
Tim,
we can certainly work on that.
Yeah, all right. We got to get one more quick story before we take our next break.
A quick story. The only story I've got is a long one. Let me jump to a quick story.
All right, please.
A devout Christian accused of driving with no insurance, MOT or road tax, and with a religious number plate says he did not need insurance because he has divine protection. Lay preacher Peter David from Neath, South Wales, pleaded not guilty to a string of motoring offences at a preliminary court hearing. He drives a Ford Sierra with the number plate Duet 818, which stands for the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, which says that God gives power, and he's actually refused to get motor insurance on the belief that God will protect him.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
I just hope he's not driving around while I'm driving around. I'm going to give him a 10-minute head start, I suspect, if we're in the car park together.
No doubt. We're going to take a quick break. Everybody, stay tuned. You're listening to Darkness Radio, Paranormal's Best. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Tim Dennis across the board from me, and somewhere hidden in the confines of deep, dark Minnesota, we've got the Brit tied up and telling us news stories from around the world. Adrian, welcome back to the show. What are we going to go to next?
Well, did I hear right, Dave, at the beginning of the show, you mentioned you wanted to get someone on the show talking about the Bermuda Triangle.
Yes.
I've got an interesting story here from this week on Thursday. An aeroplane carrying 12 passengers disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle under unexplained circumstances on Thursday, although officials to the local flight control cannot agree about the aeroplane's origin or its destination. Luis Perez, the air traffic controller, the aircraft's owner, told authorities he was planning to have the plane reported stolen. According to him, the plane was supposed to be on its way over to the Dominican Republic for a checkover. But the plane's pilot, Adrian Jimenez, from the Dominican Republic, was not a licensed pilot, and his flight license was actually taken away in 2006. But according to the flight plan, the plane lifted off from the Dominican Republic and was supposed to land in the Bahamas, but it disappeared southeast of the Bahamas soon after departure. And the aeroplane did not land anywhere between its point of departure and the Bahamas, according to the island's flight controls. The relatives of the passengers actually told the media they thought the plane was scheduled to land in New York. So no one actually knows who's flying the plane, where it landed, where it's going, or where it is now. The Coast Guard of the Caribbean Islands searched for the remains of the aircraft, but unsuccessfully, and the search was also made difficult by the bad weather they're having down there as well. So basically, they've lost an aeroplane full of passengers with any idea of where it's going, who's flying it, or where the wreckage is, if indeed it's gone down.
Really?
Very strange indeed.
So yes. That's a brand new story from the Bermuda Triangle. Hey, I also want to mention real quickly, if you can go to our front page, darknessradio.com, we are streaming live the Haunted Wolf Manor Live season finale. There's a live ghost hunt going on there with, I think, our friends from Pasadena Paranormal Research and a couple other people are there. So we do have that streaming, so you can kind of watch in the background as we're doing tonight's show live. Where are we off to next, Mr. Lee?
Well, hovering our way into all things UFO-related now, radio reports about an unidentified flying object about to land in Zagreb on Wednesday gave the Croatian capital's residents a scare and angered authorities. The Croatian radio station Antennae caused chaos in Zagreb with a report about a bright spot of light moving in the sky over the capital and fake testimonies of witnesses observing the phenomenon. Zagreb's residents, worried and scared, immediately started to call relatives, the police and the fire department, the Bulgarian telegraph agency and Russian authorities. This was actually a hoax, and this hoax reminds me of the radio play The War of the Worlds that took place, that was narrated by Orson Welles back in 1938,
right,
if you recall the incident.
Well, I wasn't alive, but I've been told about the story, yeah.
Well, the Croatian radio journalist admitted only around noon that the report was a joke, and it was aimed at ridiculing the mayor, Milan Bandic, who had plans to turn Zagreb into a police stronghold. The journalist behind the joke had decided to test the authorities by faking a Martian attack on the air. And it seems that the joke angered police authorities, who actually said today that they will actually file a complaint against the responsible journalists for disturbing public order and spreading false information.
Really?
Very interesting that even in today's age, you know, in 1938, when that took place, nothing else, you know, had been seen like that. But with today's media, you wouldn't have thought necessarily it would have had the same effect. But interesting for me, it caused the same chaos with people leaving the capital and gridlocking roads and causing problems with the telecommunication systems. So a complete repeat of what happened in 1938 there.
Did they give disclaimers like Orson Welles did, where they kept cutting in and saying, this is just a radio presentation?
Well, they did after 12 o'clock. The story started in the morning, and they'd obviously prepared this particular event, and they'd got false testimonies of people, so it sounded very real. But it wasn't until 12 o'clock midday that they then said the whole thing was a hoax. They didn't do anything during the course of the hoax, so it was quite problematic for the authorities, and it caused a vast number of problems. And the police, I don't think, are very happy, and they're actually going to track the journalist down, and I think there's going to be some consequences to that over in Croatia.
Interesting stuff.
Indeed.
Right.
Okay, from hoax UFO sightings to real ones now. This was seen near Sydney Harbour Bridge in Australia. Steve Jolliffe spotted what appears to be a flying saucer hovering directly above Miller's Point while checking out Google Maps. He says, I live in a street on the corner and it has a beautiful view of the harbour, and I was just trying to get a look on Google when I saw it. It said it caught his eye and he couldn't get back to bed thinking about it. He thought it was a UFO straight away. And the bizarre discovery comes at the tail end of quite a bumpy year for close encounters for the Australians. But he was actually on Google Earth, and while he was looking at his particular part of the world, there's a very small red sort of lampshade looking UFO in the top left-hand corner. And that should actually be on our website at the moment. So if listeners are interested in having a look at that, they can actually see that on the international news section, and they'll actually see the photographs of that. But a photography expert have actually warned that it could be a distortion, but Google have actually responded, and they don't actually deny it was an alien alien aircraft. But a spokesman joked that the Interplanetary Internet Project is clearly gaining momentum quicker than they thought, which just goes to reinforce some stereotypes that internet geeks aren't actually very funny.
You know, on... What's weird is I've actually had people point that out to me before. They've given me coordinates to go look at on Google Earth. And they've said, Dave, this is a UFO. This was a big story a couple months back of UFOs that were appearing on the Google Earth site. But from photographic and video people that I had researched it said that they actually it was a digital pixelization issue, and it wasn't really any kind of UFO. It was just a simple mistake, like where information is left out. So sometimes the pixels will just kind of shatter and they look strange, so it gives it an appearance of something else.
It's definitely worth a look. I mean, what I would say is that experts have looked at it and said it could be a distortion that's taken place in the lens of the camera, but it does it does uncannily look like a typical flying saucer, sort of just slowly shaded in red. So if anyone's on the internet tonight and wants to have a look at that, it's on there, and it's definitely worth looking at.
All right. We've got about two, three minutes left here. Where else are we going to go, sir?
Well, let's see if we can cram a couple in here. I know you'd be disappointed if I didn't bring you your weekly British UFO sighting.
Yes.
The stunned residents are claiming to have seen dozens of UFOs in the sky above Howe's Owen. Witnesses have described how they saw a long string of lights moving slowly over the town at around 7:30 p.m. last night. Richard Wells of Waxlands Road says he saw around a dozen people actually watching these 60 to 70 lights moving slowly across the sky towards Birmingham. He said they were travelling in the same direction towards Birmingham, were very slow and silent, and they kept a straight line and didn't move at all. And it lasted for around 20 minutes, and he called some of his neighbours out, and they had a look at that as well and said it was quite amazing. And then that was followed up by a guy called Kevin Mallon, who described how he saw the lights whilst fishing with friends in the Haydon Hill Park area, and he said he couldn't believe what was happening. It was very surreal, and he said, "I would be amazed if no one else saw them." And a spokesman for the West Midlands Police said that lots of people had actually rung in and had actually registered the incident, that they'd seen those UFOs drifting across Howe's Owen there towards Birmingham.
Unbelievable. Tim, do we have time for one more quick story?
Yes, one quick quickly. One. An elderly woman was actually attacked by a large cat in Scotland this week. She was 74, Pat McLeod, lives in the Highlands area, and she said she was attacked whilst putting her rubbish out by a 3-foot-long cat that actually dragged her along the ground and put deep cuts into her legs and scratched her hands, and she actually needed stitches in hospital. The police and the Scottish Natural Heritage are actually trying to trace the cat at the moment, which they've described as grey in colour. I mean, the interesting thing for me is at the very end of this report, it says police have advised anyone who sees unusually large cats not to approach it or feed it. I mean, the first thing you're going to do, isn't it, is go out with a piece of elastic and a toy mouse and play with the thing.
Exactly. Well, you know, and you want to keep your pigs that you have dressed up in T-shirts and jeans away from those kind of cats, too.
That's right. And also, while we're on the subject of warning people, no peeing outside as well.
It's very cold. Thank you for spending time with us here this evening, Adrian. We'll be back with you next week, sir.
Pleasure as always, sir. Pleasure
thank you.
As always. Thank
and
you.
As a quick update for all of the listeners, we want to thank you very much for all the support you've shown me over the year here regarding my son, Cliff, who is in the Navy. Cliff is back. He's back from his tour of duty. He's well. He's in Lemoore, California right now, where he'll be spending the next 6 months. So again, son, thank you very much for what you're doing for the country. Dad's proud of you. I love you very much. And thank you all for your love and support for my son while he was off on his tour of duty. We'll be back with more, and we have Brian Riggi going to be talking about ghosts, apparitions, and poltergeists right after this. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.